Welcome to the MBM Wrestling Universe. This is Mansa coming to you from our new podcast. This is only our second show, and we've done, I don't know how many different recordings. As I said, I'm Mansa.
We recorded, episode one, six right. times, I think, due to different, technical issues and stuff.
This is episode two, because we're...
You know what we need to do? We need to stop saying, this is our second episode, and we just need to go, this is the episode dated 10th of July, 2015.
That's what we're going to do, because that's what this is. I said episode 10th of July, 2015, and as I said, I'm Mansa, one-third of the MBM wrestling team, with my brothers, Ben and Mike. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty darn good, dude. I'm Ben. I am the meat in the middle of the MBM sandwich.
And I am Mike. I am the twig of the MBM sandwich.
You calling me fat?
No, he's calling both of us fat.
That's just fact. It's fact. I am the skinniest person in the group.
You saying it's just fat?
I wish I could get fat, but it just ain't happening for me.
I'm gonna get you some sandwiches, man. I don't know what else to tell you. All right.
And this sound is me and Steve Walker.
Awesome. You know, say one recording he did, he had Jack and Coke. I was like, oh, that was awesome. Yeah. See, Ben is a man who always brings the right stuff when we record. All right, so we're not going to keep with the introductions. We're going to pretty much get into it. So much stuff happened in the last couple weeks since the last time we recorded, which is our live special from Raw. We've seen a bunch of titles change hands, and we'll get into that momentarily, but the first thing I want to talk about was the Beast of the East special that happened over on Saturday morning.
Cause tell me again how Finn Balor isn't getting preferential treatment. Mike?
I wasn't saying he wasn't getting preferential treatment. I was just stating he's been there a year now, and now he's getting it a year later.
No. He's been getting it all along. The difference being...
Y'all just like the fact of
it. No. You're just...
Right.
Blind.
I mean, Finn Balor, when they did that picture of the future, he was one of them. They did a special, which took three episodes of NXT, and...
I mean, why was Tyler Breeze not in that picture?
And then they made that one special, and they showed it at the beginning of the... Just before they showed the Beast of the East special. It was pretty much there behind Balor. I'm not saying he didn't have any backing, but yeah, Mike. I mean, come on. You can't deny this one.
The sheer matter of the fact is, yes, they might not have been pushing Finn as hard as they were pushing Kevin Owens. But part of that came out in the fact that Owens had a contract that said he wouldn't be in developmental very long.
See, I never knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the clauses that was put into his contract on signing, as far as I could tell.
Well, I mean, it worked. Because Super Mario jumped over everybody, but hey, why not? The special, I want to get your guys' takes on it. Personally, I thought it was really well done for... house show in Japan. I would have changed some of the booking in there. I would have kept the matches, but just changed the order of things. But I want to hear your guys' take on it. Mike, I know you came in pretty much. I know you were in.
You woke me up. You woke me up by
I can tell you
live
what.
Tweeting the show.
Well, live tweeting was the best thing we did.
Let me put that like this. Manso woke up and actually watched it from the start. I watched it. I started watching it.
I need a break in right quick.
And then
it didn't wake me up. It didn't wake me up. So,
well, anytime there's a tweet from the MBM Twitter, it goes right.
Well, it does that with me too. But
it does that with me too. But I was clever enough to leave my phone downstairs.
That was pretty clever, bro.
but anyway, Samantha woke me up while live tweeting it, which, after reading all the tweets, was really funny. I want to touch base on the championship match, because for me, not really watching much of anything from Japan, watching how they brought in some of the Japanese culture into that match for how they presented it.
Oh, you mean the match that the entire pay-per-view was built around?
Yes.
Yeah. You mean the man who had an entire pay-per-view built around him, but isn't getting preferential treatment?
But what I'm saying is that I really like... I don't get to see much of that stuff. And seeing, you know, the fans throwing in the streamers, the geishas giving the flowers, that brought a different perspective to it, which was, I thought, in my opinion, cool.
That's because you
haven't watched Ring of Honor very much. Another reason why it was big to you. But a lot of WWE fans really...
Not a lot of people.
Exactly.
Are,
we'll get to that later. But a lot of WWE fans never had a chance to see that. I mean, they're just strictly watching the WWE. So it was something that was big. And I heard that was something that John Laurinaitis actually had a hand in, if I remember reading right.
He booked the entire weekend in Japan.
That match, he was making sure that they had that kind of level. It was different. Everything about that match was special, which is why I don't understand that wasn't the last match of the card, but... Yeah, Super Cena. So, Ben, what's your take on it?
Mwah, mwah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it.
Bear in mind, you're talking to a guy who doesn't give a crap about Kevin Owens and doesn't give much of a crap about Finn Balor.
But, okay, well, what about the anything else of the card?
Really? Mwah, mwah. Yeah. Name another good match.
Jericho versus Neville.
Jericho-Neville.
That was a great match. And I had to watch it again to make sure. I watched it again when I was fully awake to make sure I wasn't crazy. That was actually a pretty great match, man.
I don't think it was.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Those two should have done better.
Really?
Yep.
From seeing what Neville gave, like...
Okay, you're talking about me
and exactly.
Neville.
Like, I thought that was one of Neville's better matches.
Yes, and better than a huge pile of poop is still a pretty big pile of poop.
Damn, that's a big surprise to me. All right.
I'm just really, really tough. I want to see a match that Neville wrestles where he doesn't
leave not
going to
see that. Like, his entire career was him leaving his feet. From before he was Neville, he was leaving his feet. So, no, you'll never see that. That's a shame.
Divas match?
Yeah,
sucked.
I wasn't bringing that one up.
The Brock Lesnar quote-unquote match?
Sucked. You're right.
Sucked.
The squash.
We knew it was going to be a squash match. I mean...
The submission mat wrestling specialist, Kofi Kingston.
Solo submission mat wrestling specialist.
And then the destruction of the New Day afterwards.
We all saw that coming too. We all actually said that was going to happen.
And the tag match at the end.
That was... Exactly. Yeah.
So, And this is going to sound really, 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 really bad. But as a person who likes what I like, there were two people on the card that I was genuinely interested in. Jericho and Ziggler.
I figured that's what you was going to say.
Now... I originally spurred us into recording this week because I had a few things I wanted to get off my chest. And one of the things I wanted to get off my chest is I had a conversation with someone the other day who was talking about the glory hound that is Chris Jericho and how he only ever comes back when it suits him. But yet The Rock is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Okay. First of all, Chris Jericho doesn't
slap him.
I just walked away.
Okay.
First of all, 90% of the times Chris Jericho comes back to the WWE, it's at a house show.
Right.
It's not even televised. Second of all, he's not coming back to promote some damn movie. And third of all, Jericho can actually wrestle.
Very true. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
The reason Jericho was on the card in Japan is because he's Chris Jericho. He's as well known in Japan as Finn Balor is.
it was the amount of fans and cheering that he got, that pop he got when he came out. And I just said, on that Japanese fans, they were amazing that whole card. But the pop that Jericho got coming out of there was off the chain. That was amazing. Yeah. And he should have. He spent years out there.
And also to touch base on the one thing, Jericho has even come out and said, I'm only going to do house shows. I don't want to do television.
Yeah.
Because with house shows, I can improv. And I can do things that are more fresh than whereas on television, you're told this is what you have to do. And he only wants to come back on television unless it's something very, very special.
Yeah.
Outside that, he really doesn't want to do television. He just wants to do house shows. And that shows how much he loves to wrestle.
And the rumor mill is that Jericho actually got hurt in the match against Neville.
No, he came out and said it. He hurt his neck. He said it on his podcast. Yeah. Yeah, he said on his podcast this week that he hurt his neck in the match.
Was it serious or just like?
No, he says it. Yeah. It just isn't a stinger serious. Or it's whatever. Just, a little stinger, a little tightness.
Okay,
but he'll live.
So can we rename Neville Rey Mysterio yet?
No, not yet.
No, I've already nicknamed Kalisto that.
Okay,
no, that's Kalisto for me.
Because Rey Mysterio is notorious for injuring.
We still can't call Neville that, but it sounds like he's on his way. We're getting there, but not yet.
Okay. But, Jericho Neville may have been okay, right? Don't get me wrong. It would have been a great match had Neville not been in it. I'm sorry. He's a gymnast. He's not a wrestler. I want to see him go hold for hold for hold for hold with a guy like Jericho. And he has, like, 1,004 holds.
Right.
1,000 of which are armbar.
Neville will never be a wrestler, especially of the caliber that you're asking for, because he's known for his high-flying moves. And it's a shame because that kind of wrestling will only last for a few years. Yep.
Just ask Daniel
Very
Bryan.
Much so.
All right. But let's move on. On to what was the main event, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens. Now, I just dropped the thing I was playing with in my hand. Sorry about that, everybody. Bear in mind, I am not invested in the Kevin Owens character. I'm not invested in the Finn Balor character. So I was looking at that match as kind of an outsider, really. It was okay. Like, it was a great match, don't get me wrong. Absolutely great match. There was a little too much kick-out-itis going on.
I see what you're
saying,
yeah.
Like Kevin Owens kicking out the coup de grace. And then Finn Balor going, well, I'm just going to use the coup de grace again. And everyone in the crowd going, hang on, but he kicked out of it before. Why isn't he going to do it again? Like, I don't know. It might have been time to bust something new out instead of the second coup de grace. Maybe get away from that really awful finishing move that is going to hurt somebody one day. I'm calling it right now. It was an entertaining match. There you go. That's my review of it. It was nice to see the pomp and circumstance. And I don't mean the Macho Man's entrance music. It was nice to see the streamers and it. I've come to the conclusion that I have been very, very colored in my opinion of Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and Hideo Itami because of the way they're being pushed by NXT. And it's not happening naturally, in my opinion. They're definitely the favored sons at the moment. And I see people like Tyler Breeze and Sammy's, because he's out injured right now, but when he was still in Sammy, and TJ Parker.
Yeah.
All who worked their ass off to establish NXT as a brand, just getting trampled on by these three people. And it's probably going to happen again when Yuha comes in. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I feel you on that. But at the same token, they got the fan base now. I mean, they know who to push. And it's not fair to, especially Tyler. And I wish Sammy wasn't injured. Because, yeah, those... But
Well, if anyone's been watching any of the coverage coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, I don't think we're done with.
Oh no, Kevin Owens, no. I've been following Comic-Con pretty closely. No, not anytime close. But still, even saying that, we don't hear anything from Tyler. Then you have a bunch of pretty much no names after this point.
And who is it that has put Finn Balor over for both of his number one contender matches?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, Tyler Breeze. Right, yeah, okay.
No, it wasn't Tyler Breeze in the first one. It was Hideo Itami that he beat in the first one.
Was it?
Itami beat Breeze.
So Breeze put over Itami.
Yeah. Oh, so Breeze put over the other favorite son is what
you're
saying.
That's two now. So, I mean, but what can you do?
I'm not saying that Owens and Balor aren't something special and they're not the future. I just wish the people
were there a little longer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got that nudge too.
Yeah.
All right.
Especially when Sammy's always in that picture of the future.
Well, Sammy's definitely going to be going for the stars. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Main roster, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, this is depressing. All right. Let's move on.
Let me say my...
Overall, I watched most of it in the background while I was playing video games. That's how bored I was.
All right.
How's that?
My take, I loved it. Except for I did that tag team match at the end, the Divas match. Yeah,
so
pretty
two
much.
Out of the five matches.
I love about half the pay-per-view. I thought it was a great pay-per-view. And I loved it more because I was live tweeting. I had fun just interacting with everybody and then watching the pay-per-view. It was exciting doing that. And I think we'll be doing that a lot more. So definitely stay tuned to our Twitter page. So we'll give you all that information at the end of the show. But
Mike's been live tweeted Raw this week.
Yeah, I did Raw this past week. That made Raw a lot more fun to watch, just because you're interacting with so many other people watching.
I'm about to say, let's go ahead and go into Raw too, because hear your takes on that. And Raw was bad. It wasn't as bad as our Raw. Our Raw was horrible, which was last Monday. This past Monday was bad. At least it was better.
I still haven't watched our Raw on television. So our Raw is awesome. Just because I haven't seen it on TV.
Right. Going out of
stay
the
in that zone,
not
dude.
Watch it at this point.
Yeah, I want to remember
trust
it for the awesomeness
me, stay in
of
that
being
zone,
live.
Because when you watch it, it's like learning that there's no Santa Claus, man. It is awful. Well, I'm sorry, Mick. There is a Santa Claus, Mick Foley. I'm sorry. There is. I didn't mean to say that. But it's awful. It's absolutely awful. So let me hear your boys' takes on that. It's going into this.
Right.
that car finally got it.
You guys need to go first. You guys need to go first because I'm going to be talking for a while.
All right, I'm sorry, Mike. Okay. I'm sorry, but
it took a week. It took a week for that car to finally get it to meet its maker. And what a beautiful way for it to meet its maker. But the only match on that card that really enthralled me was Cena versus Cesaro 2. And I also I want to bring this up because I found the survey. They did a survey after this past Monday Raw asking you, what is your favorite John Cena U.S. title open challenge match? Number one is Cena versus Cesaro 2. The second one is Sami Zayn. Number three was the Cesaro match in D.C. And then four was Ambrose, and five was Neville. That was your top five out of all the matches.
I wouldn't mind seeing a collection of these U.S. title matches. Like, these matches were, on the most part, really great. John Cena has been,
there was like, only been one bad
to have a collection of that. Yeah, I would pay money for that. That was, these matches have been so much fun to watch. And Cesaro 2, oh man, they were going at it. That was awesome. That's
And I think I'm just being impartial because we were there live for the first one. But I felt that the first one was better than the second one. But I think that's just because I was watching that second one on
the
television.
The second one made more sense.
I felt that the moves and stuff were a little more polished than the first one. Up until the end, I didn't like the end of the first Cesaro Cena one. But to me, at least, I think that was just from being in DC. But yeah, I did feel that. Most of the first one was much, much better. But the story-wise, yeah, two made more sense. So, still, that series was fantastic. Yeah, absolutely fantastic series.
Yeah, it was really great. And then, of course, what we didn't see.
Yeah, hold on.
We'll get to that.
But yeah, Ben, go ahead. Okay,
you need to go first.
The rest of the show was
because I'm going to be talking for a while.
Like I saw the car finally get destroyed, and I was still watching it pissed because I wanted to see it a week ago, and
you and me both on that one.
Happened this week. I expected somebody to rip the car apart. That's what happened this week. I expected, you know, everything to go now. That happened in the car, should have happened in DC, but it didn't, and I was mad, so I was like, hell with this. But then the rest of the show happened, and yeah, I honestly can't remember. Like, it shouldn't be like, I'm tired of Raws being like that, just filler. Monday, if it wasn't for the fact that we were there, the last Monday, would have been... It's an awful show. It was just a filler show. It was a show just to bridge a gap. And this was another filler show. And it didn't even touch upon anything that happened at Beast in the East or anything, except for a few moments when New Day came out. I was like, well, I know Kofi's still probably feeling the effect. Yeah. Honestly, I was surprised.
Oh, no. When they came out and they saw the car. When they came out and saw the car, it was like literally their life was just flashing before the eyes.
That was the other thing. I was like, holy crap, Kofi Kingston made it. Like, he's still here. The power of positivity, man.
Kofi lives.
So, but aside from that, the card wasn't good. It was just a bad show. And then Cesaro Cena happened, and I actually have to really thank WWE booking for making that the last match, because it made the night for me. Like, if they showed that
was the smartest decision, hands down. After how good the match was the week before in DC, if they had put it earlier,
I probably would have turned off Raw after that, because I was like, there's nothing else I don't care about seeing. There's nothing on this. There's nothing going on. So. Yeah, that was my take of Raw. Go ahead, Ben.
All right. So, I got a few things that I need to talk about from this Raw. If any of you out there read my Five Thoughts from Raw column that comes out on popcultureuncovered.com, you might have heard, you might have seen a few flash forwards to this. A lot of what I'm going to be going over is elaboration from that. Once again, and then I'm going to expand on quite a few things. First of all, there was a tweet sent out by, I think it was Mike on Monday, that said, I think Ben just punched himself in the face. You were correct. There was much punching.
That was a great tweet.
You're welcome for that tweet.
No. Nobody cares about the IC belt. And when you are having matches, the quality of the matches that have been happening for the US belt, and you are having matches that are Ryback Big Show for the IC title, we are in a situation where one minor title is incredibly, incredibly strong, and the other couldn't punch its way out of a wet paper bag. I sent out a tweet after watching Raw asking if Ryback was about to hand Cesaro the US, the Intercontinental title, because Cesaro's had more good matches in the last 2 weeks than Ryback has had in his entire career. And I'm not wavering from that. There's a thing, the definition of insanity is repeating something and expecting the outcome to be different, or at least a definition of insanity. They keep repeating this Big Show Ryback feud or matches and expect them to become good all of a sudden, and it's not working. I don't know. I don't know whether we need to unify the two titles. There's only one minor belt. I don't know whether we just need to divvy people up into the Intercontinental Division and the US Division and put a fair share of talented people in each. I don't know what they've got to do, but they need to fix the IC belt, and they need to do it before they put it on my back.
Let me ask you a question, man. Now, there was a point in time before Cena became United States champion, before the belt was on Ryback, that the IC belt was strong. Like, I believe Barrett had it, and there was great matches. It was Ziggler, and
it was much stronger than this. It wasn't even strong then.
Stronger
than now, yeah.
Honestly, the last time I thought the Intercontinental title was really strong was back when Cody Rhodes had it.
When Cody brought back the new belt. Or the old belt, I guess. Because that was, because even when Barrett was world champion, Intercontinental champion, he lost every week on TV.
But it seemed, well, maybe it was,
he just won title matches. He just lost all the non-title matches.
Maybe
it's
it was
just
what I'm thinking is because they were trying to go towards the ladder match at WrestleMania, that they tried to hype up the belt a little more. But then Brian got injured. But
even then, right, you had the Intercontinental title being passed around like a hot potato. If Barrett was a strong champion, he would have just bullhammered the ever-living smeg out of all of them and just taken it back instead of letting it happen. Instead, he just sat there and was like, wah, that's my belt, wah. And it sucks to be saying that about Wade Barrett, because I Wade Barrett.
Oh, I love Wade Barrett too, and that was the worst storyline watching going in.
And can we talk about how Dean Ambrose steals the IC title? before WrestleMania.
He steals the WWE.
And then,
yeah,
like 2 months later, he steals the world title.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even. But yeah, they've got to do something to put the IC title on a higher level. Because right now,
can I
just
ask you this?
Matter. Yeah.
I'm wondering, because we're also forgetting that The Miz is involved in this match at Battleground. Would it be an upgrade over,
yes,
Ryback to put the title on The Miz?
Yes.
And then have The Miz lose it to somebody like a returning Cody Rhodes, hopefully when he does come back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Or even to Cesaro.
Yes.
And
literally
Big Show.
Anyone other than Ryback, except Big Show.
So I just want to make sure we're all.
Oh, Miz is who I'm
Miz
rooting
would
for.
Be best as
and his match
champion right now.
Best as right now, I don't agree.
Match,
best,
yes.
Best option in that match, yes.
Like, I'm rooting for the Miz just to get the title off of those guys. That's it.
The second thing I want to talk about. Actually, I'll come back to that one because we'll get to that because that kind of ties into the last thing I want to talk about as well. All right, let's talk about Paige. Paige.
Wow.
Paige. Right. First of all, you don't go on Tough Enough and have a massive meltdown about the fact that nobody watched The Beast in the East pay-per-view and be like, I was one of the performers that flew 18 hours here and back again and I'm offended and I should get up there and smack the hell out of all
Jordan
of you.
It.
Right? Because A, it makes you look like a prima donna. B, it makes you look like an idiot. C, someone should point out to you it wasn't a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. It was a WWE Network special. And most importantly of all, and this is my favourite, why should they respect you? You can't win matches. Let's look. Just Tough Enough for a minute. Can we look at the judges on Tough Enough?
Yeah, Mike.
So who are the judges on Tough Enough? Who are the
Daniel
judges
Bryan.
On Tough Enough? Okay. We have Daniel Bryan, a man who can't stay healthy.
Hulk Hogan.
A man who never had any talent.
Paige.
Who can't win matches. Why are they judging future talent again?
Do you think the trainers, which are Billy Gunn, Lita, and Booker T, do you think they should have been judges instead?
Actually, I was surprised
as well
that they
as
have
the trainers.
Yes.
The trainers and then the judges. I thought they would have had the trainers be the judges.
Well, something, since we're on the topic of it, something I did read yesterday is apparently USA Network is not happy with Tough Enough.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because of the format.
I have to apologize to any of the guys who are on Tough Enough for following us, but I don't watch it. I don't care.
There have been, what, 6 seasons of Tough Enough at this point? Name 5 Tough Enough winners that have gone on to beat anything in the WWE.
Right. Like
John Morrison. 5. John Morrison. Okay. Let's see here. Maven had a short stint.
Nidia had a short stint. He was there for a year and then he left.
Nidia was there for at least
but she was with Jamie
Noble. She was a manager for Jamie Noble.
She was a big part of that Cruiserweight title run for Jamie Noble too.
Nothing on her own.
And she wrestled and didn't do well. Like she lasted like
best.
A few when she broke up with Jamie Noble and she had that run as a wrestler, it didn't last but 2 seconds.
Because Maven was building up to something huge because he eliminated The Undertaker from the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And then they were like, yeah, we're not going to renew your contract.
And then you were going to have Matt Capanelli.
Yep.
But then
that was really unfortunate.
Tumors. which was very unfortunate for him.
But he didn't go on. And I'm not being callous about this, but he doesn't apply to the five.
The Miz?
I was about to say, he...
Did he win?
No.
He did not win, okay. But he was so in the Million Dollar Tough Enough.
He does not qualify for the five. Carry on. Did John Morrison win, or was he second place?
Yeah.
Yes, he won with Matt on season three.
Okay.
Yeah, first season was Maven Nydia. Yep. Second season was Linda Miles and Jackie Gaeta.
Yeah, because that worked out well.
And then third season was John and Matt.
Yep.
The Million Dollar Tough Enough was Daniel Pewter, who is very laughable. And then the most recent one that Austin hosted was Andy Levine, and he got released after his year was up.
Yep. So what you're telling me is that of the six male Tough Enough winners, one of them has been something in the WWE. And none of them have been world champion. In fact, the only world champion to ever come out of Tough Enough didn't win Tough Enough.
Well, wait. John Morrison, even though it's not the world title, John Morrison was ECW champion. It's technically what, at the time, was one of their three world titles.
It was booked like a joke, mate. Sorry. But yeah, sure, ECW champion, whatever. If it had been like the actual ECW world championship and he won it off like Taz and Sabu and stuff, I'd have bought that. But the neutered down ECW didn't really feel. It was like.
We'll just say, all right. We'll say that Morrison
not like that, but
did something, but I still won. One.
Yeah, but Morrison also was a multiple-time Intercontinental champion, multiple-time tag team champion.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and
something.
I'm saying he did something. I'm just saying he never became world champion. So the point I'm trying to make about Tough Enough is, why should I care? There is a history of these people not making a difference. Or spending their year that they win the contract for and then getting thrown out. So why would I ever like buy into these people?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna waste my time with it. I'd rather take the hour it would take me to watch Tough Enough and go watch a VOD of ROH or Flippy Lucha shit.
That's Lucha Underground. I just swore again.
Sorry,
those who don't know.
I don't know, man. Like, but Paige, how are you the number one contender?
Wait, she is, isn't she?
You can't win matches.
She won in DC
with a really bad roll up after she'd been dominated for the entire match and looked awful
Paige
while doing it.
How is that?
Yeah, so the Divas division makes no sense at all in any world ever. The Bellas are faces, they're heels, then suddenly they're faces, then suddenly they're heels again.
Yep, because reasons.
Because reasons. Yep. Paige is number one contender and then either loses every week, or when she does win, she looks like this. It looks like someone's taken a tin of SpaghettiOs and just thrown it at her opponent for an entire match. And then somehow her opponent has lost. And when she is winning matches, she's using the Diva Division patented roll-up of doom. Like, and then they have this huge story building up with Paige trying to get the stable together to stand against Team Bella.
Yeah.
And nothing is happening. And we all know what's going to eventually happen is they're going to call up Charlotte and Sasha. But they need to have done it already.
Saving it for SummerSlam. That's the last thing I read. The last thing I read is
I know,
it for
but
SummerSlam.
That doesn't
or
you're not talking good.
No. But here's
it
the interesting
to
thing.
Have happened.
Here's one thing we never talk about. We never talk about SmackDown, because on SmackDown, they're doing essentially the Paige storyline, but with Naomi and Tamina.
But they're not, because Naomi and Tamina have... It's even been stated on commentary that Naomi and Tamina are going out of their way to stay neutral in the entire situation.
And yet, the rumor is that if they don't call it Charlotte and Sasha, Sasha's joining up with Paige.
And that makes no sense, because less than a month ago, Naomi was like, well, what about me? I hate Paige. It's like, what?
Yep. Reasons.
Reasons.
Like, it's like the Diva division exists in this little bubble of I make no sense, get over itness. Like, and that brings me on to my final thing. I have been struggling for a long time watching WWE. Like, for a long time. And I didn't know why. Watching wrestling in general, to be honest, because this is a symptomatic of every promotion that is currently being televised. You don't know how to tell a story. If the previous page example doesn't point out, we can talk about the Ziggler, Lana, Rusev, Summer situation. When Lana and Rusev broke up, it was a great moment. It was a very, very good moment. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like completely out of the blue, she shows up in Dolph Ziggler's match and starts kissing him. And there's a narrative leap there that's missing, right? Because never before had she shown any sort of interest, or vice versa. And when she did come down, he was just kind of stood there. And we know, as like, quote unquote, smart people,
he actually says it in the ring.
Where's Rusev, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. But
yeah,
he should have been saying that over the microphone. He'd be like, oh, all right, what are you trying to do? Where is he? Right? But I want to go back about 6 months before the whole breakup happened. And, Mansa, we were hanging out one day. We were going to get comics and having lunch. And I said to you that, who did I think was the best person to pull Lana away from?
I believe you said Ziggler. You said Ziggler.
I did. I said Dolph Ziggler. Now, let's take the situation that happened on WWE TV. Rusev is wrestling Cena. Rusev dumps Lana. Lana shows up out of nowhere and kisses Dolph Ziggler. Right? Now, let's talk about how you should actually tell that story. Okay? What should have happened is there should have been a reason for her to come to the ring and kiss Dolph Ziggler. Right? Like, I'm not imagining that, right? Like, so let's... So, here's how you tell the story. I'm so angry about this, I can barely speak. All right, so the fallout of this starts at Survivor Series. Dolph Ziggler gets Rusev counted out. It's the first time Rusev has been on the losing end of a decision in his main roster career. Right? At that moment, the night after, there should have been a promo on Raw or something. Like, when Ziggler came out and was like, yeah! Like, Rusev And you know how, like, they had Daniel Bryan come out and be guest GM and, like, Rusev and Lana and all mm-hmm. that were at the top of the ramp and everything, right? He should, like, Ziggler should have made a joke about, right. hey, Lana, why don't you get with, like, a real man or whatever, right? And, like, that right there, just a throwaway line at the time
mm-hmm.
means nothing, right? Because that's Ziggler. He's the show-off, right? But then it goes on, and it goes on, and you get through WrestleMania, and there's this absolute berating of Rusev to Lana, and over again. And what happens is every now and again, after the beratings backstage, you pan the camera,
yeah.
and there's Ziggler watching from round a corner, or he's sitting in the makeup chair while it's happening around the corner, or he's getting out of the shower while it's happening in the dressing room or whatever, right? And then, let's say, what was the last pay-per-view? Money in the Bank, right? No, what was the right pay-per-view before, right when he got hurt?
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Whatever.
Elimination Chamber special.
Yeah. So, Elimination Chamber, Dolph goes through hell and comes up short in the Elimination Chamber, right? And you see him limping to the back through the curtains, and like he's absolutely dejected. And as he's walking, Lana is just stood there watching him walk through. And they share this glance, and he just walks off. And then it builds and it builds. And then he catches another. He catches another verbal berating, and this time he steps in and he's like, look, leave her alone. Mm-hmm. She doesn't deserve, and he gets his ass kicked, right? But it's right. building this relationship between Dolph and Lana, right? And I'm not saying that you need Dolph to be the aggressor in the situation, but I'm working off what was already there with mm-hmm. Rusev trying to beat Lana into submission or whatever, right? And then it would just come to a head where eventually, like, Ziggler doesn't even need to win a match, or yeah. like he just has to come out and stop something, right? Like maybe like Rusev hits Lana or is about to, and like he comes out and he stops it and blah 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 blah. And then, or like Rusev and Ziggler are having a match, and Lana finally breaks free and turns mm-hmm. on Rusev and gets Ziggler the win, right? That's an emotional journey you've taken your audience on. Instead of just, oh, hi, I'm Lana, I'm hot, I'm going to shove my tongue yeah. down your throat now. You know? Because while I don't think any heterosexual man alive would say mm-hmm. no to that, notice I said heterosexual, it doesn't make for good storytelling TV. It leaves you sitting there going, what? Where did this come from?
Actually, and hearing you know? This is like, that actually makes all the sense in the world.
And also, to continue into the angle that is currently going on, you suddenly have Rusev paired up with Summer Rae,
right.
who at last glance was the Miz's girlfriend.
Yeah, no
so man. When's Miz no. getting involved in this feud? But
yeah,
that doesn't make storytelling sense.
Yeah.
It just...
Because Summer Rae shows up randomly backstage and says something to Rusev, and now she's in the angle. Yeah.
And suddenly she's now his woman.
Mm-hmm.
And as he calls it, a nice submissive summer. And then, like, there are so many examples of why this does make sense. Like, I talked about Paige. I talked about this thing with Dolph Ziggler and Lana. The anonymous GM coming back, even though they revealed it as Hornswoggle, which made why. Bray Wyatt deciding he wants to interfere in feud-ending matches. Why?
Yeah.
Because F you? Because Bray Wyatt, I guess. I don't know. Like, if... And now we're looking at Bray Wyatt being a quote-unquote serious threat to Brock... Brock Lesnar. To Roman Reigns. When less than 6 weeks ago, we saw Roman Reigns pin Bray Wyatt in less than 5 minutes after already having beaten three people that night. Where is the storytelling sense here? Back in the Attitude Era, yes, the titles were passed around like hot potatoes, but that made everybody seem like a serious contender all the time. It very much promoted it on any given night mentality. There hasn't been that in the WWE for years.
Yeah. Well.
And I'm going
to
take a drink.
Well, at the same token, WWE no longer has competition that pushes that kind of mentality out of them either. But they do.
But they don't. They shouldn't need it.
They needed it for a long time. And you've seen that. This isn't new.
Yeah. But this is what I'm saying. Effort. Is if they just made a little bit of a... All right, this is going to sound really weird, but if they fired like half the writers and like got people writing the storylines that knew wrestling, because apparently the writers right now are all these college graduate people that have degrees in like writing and storytelling, and I'm like,
I just outbooked
all of you in like 5 minutes. I could book the Intercontinental Division to make it strong starting, I don't know, tomorrow. Just give me 10 people of my choice to use. And you would be surprised at who I pick. Not all of them, but some of them. And then we have... the reliance on repeated gimmicks. Little Jimmy became Spiders. Became King Wasup. It's... And I'm ranting and ranting and ranting, and this is going to sound like I'm just pooping all over the WWE from a great height. But it's because I love the WWE that I'm... I love wrestling. That I'm as critical as I am, I think. And like, they've gotten away from the era of personality-driven wrestling. Like, you have these.
Wait, what do you mean personality-driven wrestling?
Like. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Well, Steve Austin turned up to 11.
Yeah. Johnson turned up to 11. Right,
the
I
Rock
see what you're saying. Yeah.
Was Dwayne Johnson turned up to 11. Adam Rose is not... I've forgotten the dude's name. It was right on the tip of my tongue.
Right.
He's not that guy turned up to 11. The reason Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins resonate so well with the crowd is because they are them turned up to 11. I don't know, it just... You have... you have people like Kidd and Cesaro and Zayn and Balor and Owens and Ambrose, and you're putting titles on people like Ryback and letting Big Show feud for them, and you're making me I've been talking for a very long time. Somebody else say something.
It's a pain that I felt for years. I just got it out of my system long ago. And it just had to just sit back and take things as they go. But even saying all of that, I remember, at least in my mind, that the WWE at one point was a lot worse. And we do, and one of the good things, we do have the guys you named, and so that are coming in, that are there in the WWE. Some of them have not gone to main roster, but they are there, which means that the WWE will be booking these guys or backing these guys eventually. Big Show won't be there much longer, whether he likes it or not. Ryback, but these guys, the Zigglers and, well, not Zigglers, but the Zanes and Ambrose, these are guys who will be the future of the WWE. So we will have, they will have their day in the shade. They just, we just got to get there. And sometimes it just takes patience. But getting there and then watching these storylines is really hard, and it's really hard to take. But I don't want to continue to berate the WWE any longer. Because, yes, this was a rant, and I definitely wanted Ben to rant, but it's from his love for the WWE, for wrestling, and yeah,
it's because I know yeah, they can do, you know, better, that this hurts so much.
Certain people get more, a little more control over things, that things will change. And I'm not naming names, I'm not saying anything else, but I do believe that's what's will happen going forward. Mike, anything?
It's essentially on the horizon.
It really is.
We just got to wait for that horizon to finally come.
Like I said, it's a thing about patience. It's a waiting game, but it's it's so hard to wait. So, but let's move on, because I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But there was one last thing I wanted to talk about on Raw. Sorry. Which is and I'm going to ask Mansa, are you sitting down?
Oh yeah, I was going to say something positive.
I'm about to say something positive about
John. We're talking about the thing I alluded to earlier.
So
correct?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we'll get to that afterwards. I have been very down on John Cena the wrestler. Very down on him. I don't like the way that he's being put forward. I don't like the way he's put over all the time, etc., 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 etc. Since John Cena has won the US belt, 99.9% of the time he is on a show, he's on the best match in the show. The only time I can say that hasn't happened recently was at Beast in the East.
Yep.
Like, and I am actually at a point where I don't want John Cena to lose the US Open.
Okay, guys, the US belt. Let me step in there. Challenge is I was going to say the same thing. And I was afraid that you were going to shit on me. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to beat me up for that. But I don't want to see him lose because of the open challenges. Must continue.
Or right, I want it written into the contract that the challenges must continue. Because one of my favorite things that has ever happened in WWE history was 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the closest thing you're going to get to that in the modern era.
The reality era.
In the reality era, or whatever we're calling it now. But like, and it's been clearly choreographed, and I'm sorry, but it has been telegraphed.
Yep.
That Kevin Owens is.
I don't think so.
The Battleground as the U.S. champion.
I think he's going to get it at SummerSlam.
You don't think so?
And this is the rubber match. I was thinking about this earlier because I was getting kind of in that mindset for the podcast tonight, and I was thinking to myself, what's something we haven't seen in a very long time? Oh, a 10-count draw. And I mean, like, they beat them. Yeah. They beat them. Yeah, they had the last time
like they're
I
knocked
remember
out.
That happened
yeah.
was Royal Rumble for the World Heavyweight title between Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
See, that's...
And I'm thinking, what happens if that happens at Battleground, and then you go into SummerSlam with that being the rubber match, and that's the match Owen wins the title. Even though he now, as they just announced yesterday, Owens
Finn
is fighting Finn Balor at... take over Brooklyn the night before SummerSlam. I don't think he's going to win.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think.
Or at least retain.
But we know that Finn Balor is going to win that.
Yeah, I think Balor's going to retain that at Brooklyn, and then the next night, Owens wins at SummerSlam.
But I don't think you can logic. But I don't even think the WWE booking department could have someone lose a world title on one night and win the US title on the next.
Like I said,
like they're not that bad, right? Are they?
Owens doesn't win it. Owens faces Balor. The only way that would have made sense to me is he goes overboard. Like, instead of him taking the victory, he demolishes Balor. Balor still retains. But he goes in. Now he's looking strong going up against Cena at SummerSlam. Yeah.
And then takes the U.S. title at SummerSlam.
But he would...
But it all comes down to at Battleground. I would love
to see the draw too,
because like I said, it's been like what 12 Plus, years.
Yeah,
since
and it would be
something like that.
Something different. You know, it would be like people are like
much
Whoa?
Different.
So.
Yeah. But the reason why I wanted to talk about John Cena like that is he made a very poignant speech after Raw, which is what Mike alluded to earlier. And I'll let Mike talk about the actual meat of what was said. But in that speech, he said that his very first match on the main roster in the WWE was in that building. Yep. In 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So John Cena's been with us for 13 years.
Yeah.
And been a top star for like 10 of that. And I have been very, very down on John. And as I said in my five thoughts, even like the Chicago crowd are... it isn't thing. Exactly seen as... best.
They're not his best friends. Let's put it like that.
No.
Best city. They're not his best friends. They're not his buddies. However, that being said, they serenaded him with the John Cena sucks chant along with his entrance music. But you'll notice what happened at the end of the match. The Chicago crowd, the one thing about the Chicago crowd is they realize when they're seeing something special.
A standing ovation.
And they saw something special on Monday.
He won, and they stood
and they gave him a standing ovation.
Like, at the end of the match,
went, this is awesome,
John Cena finished, and they stood. It was amazing.
Yeah. And then Raw went off the air. And something amazing happened. Mike, I know you wanted to talk about this earlier, so why don't you go ahead and chat
after
about this a bit.
The camera stopped rolling. We end up finding it up on YouTube the day after. John Cena, instead of a dark match, put over Cesaro. pretty much, I mean, I don't remember everything he said, but the number one thing that he was trying to say, and he made it very loud and he made it very clear, Cesaro is a main event guy. Not a mid-card, not an opener, a main eventer, because he has it. And that coming from the face of the company, and let's be honest, they could do whatever they want on television saying Seth Rollins is the face or Randy Orton.
John Cena's the franchise. He's the franchise.
Yeah, when the franchise, the face, says you're a main eventer, you belong in this type of match. You hope that the guys in the back take notice and go
right.
I'm sorry, all I can think of is Shane Douglas repeatedly pooping on Ric Flair for a year.
But it was a really surreal moment, and the fans of Chicago, and us too, we believe that too about Cesaro. And it's unfortunate as it was for Tyson Kidd to get injured, and for as long as he's out, those two matches, the one in DC and the one in Chicago with John Cena, has elevated Cesaro into that main event picture, and even John Cena is going, you got it, you're there. And it was a special moment, and it was a great moment, and it's a moment that I wish was shown on Raw, because
see that's my point. That should have been shown on TV. If you're going to put someone over
seen
like
by
that,
everybody,
you know.
And not just via YouTube for some fan's phone either.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
at least
should have been an After
Raw
YouTube
channel
thing, like a WWE exclusive. And it should have been.
Or hell, show it on SmackDown. Show it on WWE Superstars when you do it.
Because it was really a special moment. Because not only did he put over Cesaro, he thanked him for once again having an amazing match in this building. Like, he was emotional when he said it. Yeah, he did. Like, it was
he even
that
made reference to the
emotional
the
to him.
Match.
It was that important. That's why the WWE really needed to show this. It was such a huge moment in Cesaro with Cena.
Guys, have you noticed that more and more when John Cena's going to
I've noticed
arenas,
that too.
He's like thanking them for the
he's
good
having,
times.
These matches,
it's like
these,
he's on
this
a retirement
US
tour.
Open Challenge, and the matches he's been wrestling have been amazing. I was like, is he going to retire? Because he's putting on the greatest matches of his career.
But it's like
on Raw.
But I'm not saying he's going to retire. He might be on the. But my point is.
Yeah.
Is it sounds like he's on a retire.
Well,
like, oh,
well,
thank you very much.
John Cena has always been known for
been
that
nice
type of stuff.
Not
though.
To this level.
Even
maybe he's doing
but
something.
But not
else.
To this level, dude. Not to this level. Like, he's always been known to pander to the home crowd fans and stuff like that. But he's never been like, I've had so many amazing times in this building, and I don't know.
If he does it at MSG whenever they go back, then we'll probably
that's
know.
True. That is true. All right, so normally we do the segment on Wrestle Wednesday, but Wrestling Wednesday didn't have too many big moments, so I'll make it really
Wrestling
brief because we can go on into the news after this and lead into the ratings for ROH. But on ROH, let me start with NXT. NXT, congratulations to the Vaudevillains for becoming the number one contenders for the Tag Team Championship.
Yeah,
that
boy.
Is going to be awesome. And announced. Oh yeah!
I think we'll all agree that
I love the Vaudevillains. If anybody who followed me on our Twitter feed on Raw Monday night, Simon Gotch retweeted us twice.
So that was awesome.
Simon Gotch is amazing. Person.
Also announced for next week will be Charlotte versus Sasha Banks for the women's title. that's something to look forward to. And then the rest of the show was actually the Kevin Owens and Finn Balor match. And then we had also Solomon Crowe.
Yeah, but they cut that. Yeah,
that's
cut
why you watch this
special.
I mean, you know, you don't really watch it on that. And then, of course, Solomon Crowe had his match, which was just another showcase of him. But...
Well, no, it was also a showcase of Marcus Louis. And I gotta admit, after the storyline a while back with Enzo and Colin Cassidy and him losing his hair and everything like that, you know, they actually almost had something very promising.
Yeah,
with
almost
him and
had something
Greaves.
Very promising.
And then it just crumbled, and then now Marcus Louis is back, and I'm kind of digging what they're doing with him. I just want to see a bit
he's
more
kind
of
he's
that.
Gone kind of crazy, and
I honestly want to see more Marcus Louis.
Well, you know what? I don't really care. Honestly, I don't care about Marcus Louis. Sorry.
Yeah. It's just so interesting. It really is. To me, it's really
interesting
watching
that character.
We did have to do more
for me. Because it's...
Well, could you imagine if they did the thing with Tyler Breeze?
Well, now that he's separated from... Yeah.
Sylvester LaFleur.
What's his name? Yeah. Maybe he'll get to...
Well, we'll hope. Because with this new game...
Maybe he'll get to spread his wings and fly a bit.
He's a monster.
Well, like I said, this new gimmick was supposed to start with Tyler.
And that would have
made sense.
To
start with Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
He was stalking Tyler Breeze, and it went nowhere.
Then. That's why I'm like, why are you pulling this out now? So, well, like I said, we'll see. Then let's get into ROH. ROH had this was finally the aftermath of Best in the World. So we got a chance to see the newly crowned ROH champion, Jay Lethal, strut his stuff. And Jay Lethal, who was the television champion, now has both championships. They're calling it the Undisputed Championship, but Nigel McGuinness made sure to make it clear that those are two distinctly different belts. And that Jay Lethal, if he doesn't give up the television title, will have to defend both titles. So he decides to go ahead and keep and defend both titles. That was the biggest thing. The main event was the next big moment of ROH, which had the recently reformed Kingdom, because Adam Cole was injured and just reformed with them at Best in the World. And they took on Michael Elgin and Ray Dragon. Now, the big takeaway from this was back at Best in the World, Adam Cole lost a match, and Maria Kanellis and the rest of the crew were kind of looking down on him like, okay, well, you lost a match. You haven't been here. We winning titles over across the sea, but we still believe in you, although you're like the weakest link. So this match he loses, but he does one thing special to say. He does one thing to really piss off the Kingdom, which was thank his opponents after losing the match. So it looks like the Kingdom will probably be breaking up, at least his portion, him, from the rest of them, which is fine. He can go off and do whatever he wants at that point. But the match was solid. So getting into TNA. Now, the things I want to talk about with TNA was Ethan Carter III is the TNA heavyweight champion. Yeah, off of roll-up. He is a champion. He is still undefeated. Can y'all believe this? He is still undefeated until Wednesday, where he lost due to a disqualification. But he is still your TNA champion. And he ran the show. He booked matches. He was booking many handicap matches and really false matches. But the things to take away from this show was the second part of the interview Mike Tenay had with Jeff Jarrett. And there was one thing that Jarrett said that kind of harkened back to what we were talking about when it came to Global Force Wrestling. And we had always joked about Global Force was built because Jeff Jarrett wanted to be champion in his own show. What does this have to do with what happened on TNA? Well, the question came up about what was Jarrett going to do with the King of the Mountain belt. And so Karen chimes in, well, it has a different home. And Jeff says that they're going to build the roster around the King of the Mountain belt. Because remember, Jeff is the King of the Mountain champion, and it looks like that will be their championship belt going into Global Force. Yep, it's got TNA in red colors.
But it's got TNA written on it.
It looks like the old
Also, isn't it the old World Television Championship belt?
So unless he changes it and puts Global Force in there or something, but that King of the Mountain belt will be their belt. But he's been talking about partnerships with all these other wrestling organizations that have the different forms of wrestling come there, and one of the partnerships is with now TNA. I'm like, okay. So you're the champion of all the wrestling now. Instead of just one company, you are the champion of all. So the last big thing to take away from TNA was the end of the night. Dixie Carter came back, who hasn't been seen in forever. And she came back spouting that she has pretty much, you all right? Oh.
Ow.
Dixie Carter comes back spouting that, yeah, she's turning over a new leaf,
they let her back on
and that she realizes that she ran TNA into the ground. And she now knows that she needs to have somebody in place that can run the show. And she said, it's not me. And then she looks at Ethan Carter and said, it's not you, and leaves out. So apparently she's going to name a general manager to take over for...
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And he still turned out.
Would it be great if it was Jeff Jarrett?
But well, I read that. No, I read something that it was.
Yeah. So maybe
Bubba
Ray. Probably we'll find out in the next week. Probably Bubba Ray. Anybody. But yeah, I don't know if she's going to be a full on TV personality anymore. But it looks like she's already. Yeah. So that was.
I hate you.
Big takeaway from
so much. If you're turning over a new leaf and you realize that you're driving your talent into the ground, you do not, I repeat, you do not,
yeah.
As the four most popular people in your federation,
oh, bye bye,
leave.
So, that being said, let's get into the news. Ben, talk to me. How were the ratings this week?
Yes. All right. So, we saw a little bit of an incline. The 8 p.m. showing of Ring of Honor had 128,000 viewers. The premiere showing of TNA had 353,000. The repeat of Ring of Honor had 134,000, so the repeat had more viewers than the premiere.
Oh.
And the midnight TNA had 100,000 even. So we are now in our
Wrestling Wednesday.
I want to say sixth week of Wrestling Wednesday. Wrestling Wednesday. And TNA is still the most popular show on Destination America. And it's the one that's going to be cancelled. I don't know how they can justify that. I don't know how they can justify keeping Ring of Honor around. Unless it's a much, much reduced contract compared to TNA. But, like, if you look at Ring of Honor, added together, both of their shows got 262,000 viewers, right? That's just about 90,000 less than TNA's premiere. And this was the show they were banking on. This was the one all the fans were like, yeah, but this is going to be the post pay-per-view show when then it not a no it's not because the pay-per-view happened 2 weeks ago and you had TV last week
because this was the show like yeah
where were you
even I was saying that because it's like yeah well they did television tapings and they had to get past the global wars or the War of the Worlds thing with New Japan and this would be the first show they show about what happened after Best in the World so yeah this should be great and yeah. I need my Ring of Honor fans to really step it up, people. Even TNA fans, watch Ring of Honor. I mean, something.
Because as a person, right? Now, I've spent the last...
Yeah.
I don't know how long. While. That'll do. Talking about how I'm not invested in like Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and all that lot, and that's because I don't really watch ROH and I don't watch TNA because TNA drove me away. Think about that for a minute. As an outsider, right, as someone who doesn't know anything about either company or wrestling in general, right, just wrestling in general, if you showed people those numbers and went, pick the cancelled show, they're going to pick ROH.
And to throw this in there for ratings, Tough Enough, which has like no wrestling on it whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's
over
and
a million
USA
viewers.
Is not happy with it.
Yep.
That's the.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like I was saying earlier, the reason... Okay, I want to talk about Tough Enough, because I actually have watched the first three episodes. First off, the number one person you should be watching is Patrick Clark. Not because he's local for us and he's from MCW, but because he's the only one who's actually really good.
He's
the
one that's talented.
Yes, he's the one who's talented. He's the one who's calling out people on stuff, too. And then also, I'm not going to lie, ZZ's really entertaining, but there's only so long you can keep him on the show because he has, like, no athletic ability. But the thing that I read is that apparently USA is not happy with Tough Enough because they don't like how it's taped, it's live, it's taped, it's live. They don't like Jericho. They don't like Jericho as host. They like Austin better.
No, they don't. They like Jericho as a host.
They actually put Jericho along the line of being like a game show host, whereas Austin has charisma and that personality that can really like push the contestants.
Well, no, because Austin wasn't a game show host.
Yeah, he was a trainer on the show, and Jericho's not. You know,
like,
he's just
who also happened to host the show.
It's a different dynamic.
Yeah, and honestly, I could see where they're upset about that. I actually like the Austin-hosted one better, but this is what we're getting, so make the best of it. But I have watched the first three episodes. I'm kind of like, okay, I got to watch it because I've seen all the other ones. Open mind, just go with it. I've enjoyed it. There's a little bit of shape. There's a little bit of shape.
But there's definitely a front runner, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I have enjoyed it. But it's mostly because I want to root on for Patrick Clark to win because I'd like to actually see him be that winner who actually goes on to be a WWE champion and actually have a lengthy run because he's 19. That's the one thing. He's the second youngest person on the show.
Wow.
ZZ is younger at 18. But again, like I said, ZZ to me is more like comedy relief on the show. But that can only go so far, especially when you get into the more athletic competitions. Especially in the ring. But Patrick Clark, he's definitely the guy. And if I had to pick a woman right now, it'd be between Sarah Lee and Georgia.
Thank you, man. I was going to say the same thing. Okay.
I don't know who any of these are.
But like I said, I watched all three episodes. You guys just don't care. All right,
so
fine.
Are you telling
at
us that
one
we
of
should
us
at least check out one
show.
Episode?
At least
one of us is watching.
I'll let you know when to watch it.
Good deal.
It is on demand. I'll tell you which episode to watch and what part of the episode to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pretty
much I'm quoting what CM Punk said when AJ was still in WWE after he left, and that was, when my wife tells me when to watch, I'll watch. And she hasn't said so yet, so I'm not going to watch until she says so.
Good dude.
So that's me to you guys. Me to you guys is, I'll let you know when to watch it, but until then,
yeah, pretty much. He's our wife, and he's going to let us know when to watch
it.
See, you're out.
Yes, I'm the MBM wife. I was using an analogy, Ben. Thanks so much. So what you have me on now, you have me as the MBM wife and the president of the Eva Marie fan club. Gotcha. Cool. Let's add more titles to that later on.
Yeah.
I think we may have.
What's your point?
Right.
And I think we lost once again, someone in Mike's house is using a microwave, which is making his internet.
Not
explode.
Actually. No, I was wanted to get into the ratings.
Was there any more
I was going to ask if you
really wanted to cover?
Wanted to bring,
Mesa.
What was that?
Yeah, there were a couple of things.
That's right. I forgot to mean that.
First of all, Austin Aries is Ring of Honor has just added Austin Aries to one of its shows.
Reason to watch. That's Alex Shelley and Austin Aries now have been taped to be part of Ring of Honor. Watch. Right.
I was going to talk about the Paige thing with that lapped over into my thoughts on Raw. There was what wasn't known by a lot of people is there was a tryout camp in Japan for WWE while they were there.
Really?
And one of the people that tried out was Sanada.
Okay. Wow. Yes. Sanada.
We don't know how anyone did. But Sanada still lives.
Really? Get out of here. Like, I knew. Is Sanada
America.
Part of Global Force?
So he flew to Japan for the tryout.
Right. Like, because I remember after he left there, his contract had ended. I don't remember if he actually went to Global Force, or he's one of the ones saying he was going to Global Force. But that's interesting that he still was in America. I thought he went back to Japan. But that would be great. I would love to see Sanada mix things up. And I would like to hear about it. Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, that's...
If I could get my wish right now, it would be Austin Aries in NXT.
That would be the greatest thing.
Not gonna lie. Was there anything else? We already talked about Neville injuring Jericho.
Yes. Talk about
the confirmation of how bad Tyson Kidd's injury came out. And the injury that he had...
Holy crap.
Only 5% of people actually survive.
Okay.
Yep. At least that...
That's actually amazing. And the fact that he is recovering... The fact that he survived, one.
Yep.
Excuse me. And that he's recovering is... That's just... for lack of a better word, a miracle. And so I am happy... That he's still doing something. That's just incredible.
But yeah, I mean, that's that. We've just received confirmation
so
that
the
Mike's
last
internet
bit of
crapped out.
I guess, is there any other news that you want to talk about, Ben? Yeah.
I don't think so, man. I mean, the main reason I wanted to call us together was to rant about Raw. So before we go into our wrap-up, just let me say we want to give a massive shout-out to our boy Patrick over at News Release Wednesday. And check out newreleasewednesday.com for all the information there on their YouTube channel. It gets you your. Mm-hmm. He has two guests on every week, and all three of them.
Keep a lookout for it, because you'll see Ben and I on an upcoming episode. Right, but another one. Yeah, that's awesome. So
we've already been on one episode, and we're going to be on again, which is pretty cool. I think we might be the first repeat. All right,
but I guess that will be it for us. We'll to let you know where to find us. Now we've had to go through a few changes. Well, I'm not gonna say one thing.
I'm not gonna listen to this because this makes me want to rage.
You can find us on Twitter at MBM Wrestling, MBM underscore Wrestling, and we'll tell you about the Facebook later on, because we're still actually sorting that out. We've had a bit of a problem technically with that. But you could also email us at, because it's been something else. But
basically, I'm going to have to Hulk smash Facebook.
MBMWrestling@gmail.com just to let us know your thoughts. And I have been Mansa. This has been Ben. And we're going to also say Mike, unfortunately, though his internet crash, has been with us. Nope. Oh, man.
You know, the best thing is he can't reply right now. So we could tell that story about how much he loves Eva Marie.
Oh, yeah, he loved her. We were talking about the Divas.
Like his favorite wrestler.
Say we were talking about Divas. It was an episode of NXT and she came out. And he was like, no, but Eva Marie. We were like,
yeah, and she came out like the Eva crowd Marie. Crapping on her.
How can you like this one? We understood. I felt just a tinge of bad, but she deserved it. She had no skills. But he was trying to make us believe, because she's been studying with, what's his name? Who was Spanky? She's been training. Brian Kendrick. Yeah, she's been training at his camp. And he's like, she's going to be okay. She's going to be good.
Brian Kendrick?
Right.
Like, if there's anywhere you go to train in the WWE, it's NXT, you know. Yeah. But that aside, we talk about hateful things about Mike all day.
No, don't go there.
and his weird fascination with... No, I'm not even going there. But in this week where we give thanks to the power of positivity that Kofi Kingston made it out of Japan alive, we will see you next time.